You live and learn, and I know it. That's why I roll with punches. With each attack, all of my gifts you see grows in abundance. It gets spicy when a nigga get told he was munching. When you play with good people, your goals is the dungeon. I could never be replaced, they'll know sooner than later. An arrow pointed at who assumed it was greater. Amazing what I get in return for this labor. I continue leaving trails, but won't be for the Blazers. To the fans, man, I love you, it's unconditional. Reasons for me leaving the city's nothing typical. So it's imperative not to believe the narrative. Just know that what I left is better than what I inherited. I leave at peace cause I know in the end that this is business. Hope you remember all the things you got to sit and witness. In the future, man, I hope we greet with hugs and kisses. But you should know that they the ones who chose another mission. They fishing.
I think Dame, coming from the soil and his principles and the way he was raised, I think he's a solid dude. There's no doubt about it. And he prides himself on those principles. And so perhaps the root of the issue was in Dame's core, he knew he wanted out. He wanted to try something new. He knew he wanted to win. Various reasons, for whatever reasons. But his principles of being that day one solid, loyal dude kind of caused him to move in a not direct way is what I'm trying to, decode from all this stuff that's coming from both sides, right? And you've Pat Riley was left with his dick in his hand, and you got the Heat fans just big mad about it, right? Talking crazy. Cronin, he's starting to earn a track record of being kind of cold-blooded, schemey. Need I bring up the GP2 thing? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk about this Dame trade because it's a very polarizing topic, right? To be honest with you, I just don't have empathy for Dame. The people that are saying Portland did Dame wrong, sorry. How many times have you punched the clock on a job and put up with bullshit and stuff that was wrong just to get by? Just to get by, right? So when you're getting paid $250 million, that's part of the cost, bud. You're going to be treated as an asset by the company that gave you that $200 million. I'm not here to say it feels good or it should feel good, but that goes along with, yes, having generational wealth. That's part of the cost. So sorry, Dame, if they didn't give you everything you wanted. I don't have any empathy for that. And looking at it from a fan's perspective, because that's really all we can do, if I'm a Blazers fan, I'm with it. I'm with it, right? Like, they was trying to send me Riff Raff and Jan Vesely? Come on, bro. Can't do it. Can't do it. And honestly, after listening to this discourse and how aggressive it's been on NBA Twitter, my takeaway is I think we should be thankful for how the Blazers have handled this. Just moving forward with the league, these teams got to take back a little bit of power. It was crazy, and it just set up an example that, hey, stars, superstars, you can't just sign a max and immediately ask out or to a specific location. It may not work out for you that way. And so, like, big picture, he said, she said, all that shit, we'll be left with those questions forever. Ultimately, big picture, I like the way Portland handled it for the standard moving forward in the league. And I think if I was a Blazers fan, I'd much rather have the haul of Ayton, Holiday, and what else is to come than Hero and Jovic looked all right, right? A spot up big shooter. And it just, I don't know. I like Jaime Jaquez like the next dude. But I mean, to me, the package was unquestionably better that they got. Pause. You see all this footage of DeAndre Ayton arriving in Portland. I might get a little more of it on my timeline because I am here in Phoenix. And, they're like, oh my God. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, look how happy he is, rejuvenated. Like, oh, he's finna be a beast. Like, da 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 da. Listen, man, a leopard never changes its spots. Right? This is the classic, like, and I'm excited to see, right? I'm excited to see, like, the excitement. I think there's a possibility. He, no doubt, he needed a fresh start, right? Like, I think there was some unfairness to him, but you are who you are. And Suns fans know, and people that have watched him enough. Yeah, that's why, my initial reaction was I liked the move for the Suns. He had to get gone out of there. And sure, maybe he'll be better. To me, what this is this is an opportunity for Scoot Henderson. And obviously he's a rookie. I'm not saying this is going to all happen at once, but if he can make DeAndre Ayton an all-star caliber center with his playmaking and their pick and roll game and as the lead guard, that would be a huge sign moving forward that he's going to be an actual franchise guard. I don't want to see, 23-3 from Scoot. I'd much rather see 17-8, 18-7, as far as assists go. Can he be a playmaker? I don't think it's enough to just be kind of this like high volume, somewhat inefficient scoring lead guard. There's a ton of those guys. Can Scoot Henderson make DeAndre Ayton scratch his potential? Get back to Suns Finals Ayton. Change the scenery. They're going to, I'm sure he'll feel a little more empowered because he's not like the youngster of the team anymore, right? So I'm curious to see, but I'm giggling a little bit to people think all of a sudden Ayton's going to be like this ferocious center or something. Come on, man. He is who he is in mentality. He's a laid-back island boy who is not naturally as physical as we'd hope for him to be with those physical attributes. Now, listening to the talk about Dame and Giannis, I've heard some good points. I've heard some good points and some pushback as to why they're going to be so dominant and good. Someone was saying, but most of the talk is around Dame's defense, right? And someone said, well, they're just going to send him over the top of all screens and filter the offense to Lopez and Giannis, Bud's scheme, who, by the way, isn't there. Listen, I've seen Portland try to do that as well. You know what I mean? So it's like, we'll see. But I wanted to get to this one YouTube comment. I'm not going to say his handle because it's some wild shit that I can't interpret it. But he said, quote, Dame and Giannis complement each other perfectly. Their best perimeter defender couldn't stop Jimmy when it mattered most. You guys aren't thinking of when Dame goes crazy for 5 minutes, allowing Giannis to dedicate all his energy to defense and rebounding. They're a much more balanced team with a higher ceiling. I was like, okay, you sold me a little bit. Like, that's valid. Or do they take turns being frustrated offensively? Middleton, he wants his ISOs as well, right? And so in theory, if Dame and Giannis are both willing to sacrifice how they like to play for the greater good, right, and make it about winning, then yeah, they have a crazy ceiling, hence the trade. I get it, right? But I got to see it because you've got two alphas who are used to having the ball undisputedly. Right? Like there's no train of thought. I saw a chart that Dame has the most, is it 30 or 35 foot 3-point makes in NBA history, right? Well, that's what happens when you are the undisputed guy. There's no thought of like, should I hit Clay in the corner or KD or whoever the other guy did. That was just Dame. He could just do that, right? And so I'm very curious to see how Dame plays when he's not the undisputed alpha offensively. And is he willing to allocate his resources differently, meaning the defensive end? He is an elite assassin. But the thing with assassins are, like, that's kind of only what they do. That's all they know. So, yes, in theory, I see it. And that's why I understand the deal. But I think the egos and the personality, and I'm skeptical Dame can change his game and do what they need to do and be a more well-rounded player. I think that it may have to be Giannis because I think that ultimately he is the more dynamic and versatile player. He potentially could be, right? But I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see it. Wouldn't it be crazy, though, if Drew Holiday ended up in Boston or Miami, right? That would be salty if I was a Bucks fan. It's like you made this move, but then at the same time, you've bolstered Boston or Miami. That would be, because I don't think they would have ever traded Drew to one of those teams, right? But let's talk about the Drew to Golden State stuff, because boy, did it pick up steam. I remember some people initially dismissed it. I was like, no, I think this is a thing. And then slowly but surely, at like 48 hours after the deal, it was like a thing. Monty Poole, who long time covered Bay Area sports guy, right? He's an OG covering the Warriors. He has no doubt sources. He said that they can't do it based off integrity. He was on, 95.7 The Game or wherever, and he was like, listen, they've built up this cachet and this integrity, and they've talked up Chris Paul so much to themselves and to the fan base that the optics would look bad if they just traded Chris Paul. I'm not with that. I don't believe that. What? I think that that's the argument you make, like, for Clay or Looney or someone beloved by this organization. Chris Paul has never played for the Warriors. In fact, he was one of the most hated rivals of the Warriors. So yeah, I don't think that I don't quite understand that integrity argument for Monty Poole and how it wouldn't look good to flip Chris Paul. And then the other aspect of it was Kuminga, because he's obviously our kind of our prized possession, our greatest young asset outside of like the core, right? I'm not saying he's not part of the core, but outside of disrupting the core big money players. And so there was, the debate of would you be willing to add Kuminga? Listen, I'm not saying it's an easy decision by any means. I love his potential, but I've been watching the league too long, dog. Like, come on now, let me, and listen, this is not shade at Kuminga, because I know some of you will say he's probably shown more than any of these guys I'm going to list off to you, but what I'm going to do is list off top 10 picks in the last 10 years that in their first couple seasons, the fan bases were like, oh my, like so high, like they were going to be the one, and they at a certain point were viewed as untouchable. Remember Josh Jackson for the Suns? How about Thon Maker? Was it the Bucks that drafted him? They were trying to pair him with Giannis, right? Stanley Johnson to the Pistons was going to be this big, versatile forward. Noah Vonleh. Remember Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, MKG, second pick for the Bobcats at the time? Thomas Robinson. I thought he was going to be nice out of Kansas. Another whiff from the Kings. Right? How about Wes Johnson out of Syracuse? I swore he was going to be nice. What, you want to talk about a disappointing career? Had all the tools. Y'all remember Joe Alexander? He was mixed with some sort of Asian descent. The Bucks drafted him, and he had this crazy like 42-inch vert, 6'8" wing. It just never came to fruition. And again, I think Kuminga has shown more than most of these guys. But my point is, a bird in hand, it would suck. I don't know how I would feel if the deal happened. If it got announced like Monday, a media day or something weird, right? Kuminga and Chris, like it just happened. I'm not sure how I would feel and digest it. I'm not saying it's an easy decision, but for me, in watching the league as long as I have, to call Kuminga untouchable, I can't do it. Now, it's interesting because they want two first round picks, which I think we can provide. You Stevie Ray and you capologists and guys that really know the numbers and stuff. We have two firsts. I don't know how far they would get pushed back, right? But it'd be two firsts. Look, it could happen. I think it could happen. I think here's what I would say. I think they have to be careful because we know Cronin moves like a goon, right? And someone had also brought up the GP2 trade in that transaction. So that probably makes it less unlikely, right? Because of the bad blood with the GP2 trade. However, I would say Bob Myers is no longer negotiating. And this Cronin cat, if he really is the goon that he comes off to be in this business dude, then if it's the best offer, it's the best offer, right? But, they're claiming that's the subjective thing about that trade is they're like, he turned down a better offer from the Heat. That's super subjective because once Drew's flipped and Ayton and the picks, did he? But anyway, so yeah, that has to be brought up. The GP2 transaction probably makes the deal less likely. But again, back to the Monty Poole point about the optics. The one thing that I would be worried about is if you offer CP and then they don't accept, and now Chris is walking around the Warriors facility knowing we just tried to flip him, right? That would be a problem. Now, some teams can work in silence and the offers aren't put out. But then again, we're dealing with Cronin. He'll probably take to Twitter talking about the Warriors offered Chris Paul and we don't want that little motherfucker. The other element, though, is the Clippers are on the prowl, right? They already picked up pull out Primo, right? On the low for the cheap. But if they were to get Drew, it would part of it be blocking a direct division rival in trying to acquire him. I don't know. I just have to bring that up because if the Clippers were to pull that off and you pair Drew with Kawhi and PG, but hey, we say it every year, right? Here come the Clippers. They spooky. But yeah, I don't know if I would be. What spooks me as well is sending Kuminga to Portland. Like, couldn't you see him haunting us for like 10 years? Like every time he shows up at Chase, it's just like 30-10 with a nasty snarl. You can just mark it down. No, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd do it, but I am intrigued at the possibility of making it happen some way, somehow. You want to talk about pushing all your chips in for the chef and going in for these next two seasons? I couldn't be mad at that either. I couldn't be too mad at it, even though I'd be wary of what it would cost, is how I feel. Now, when was it, Friday? Kerr and Dunleavy, they had a media scrum. I think it was Thursday or Friday, right? Ahead of Monday's media day. I think to just get them out of the way so then it can be about the players on Monday. You heard right from the horse's mouth, Kerr is really happy with the roster. But you can tell. You could just, I can't recall him being like this relaxed and excited about a roster right now. And the other thing you can tell is he's got a Woody for Trayce Jackson, right? Like the way he spoke about him. Have you ever heard him speak about a young big that way? I don't think so. Trayce plays the way we like to play. Handoff guy passes and he's just got a feel of where to be. There's a lot of propaganda going on, you know, at the start of training camps, but Kerr, he doesn't use those words with young players. Usually the company line with the young players is, hey, hopefully, I don't expect anything from them initially. The NBA is hard and there's going to be an adjustment and hopefully at some point they can get out on the court. Right, that was not the message about Trayce Jackson Davis. And then that brings me to a rumor that Draymond Green has severely sprained his ankle in the last 48 hours. Now, Playoff Draymond is a Draymond Green fan account on Twitter. At Charlie something. I've interacted, we follow each other, and I've interacted with the dude through DMs. We've had some conversations about things, and he's come at me at times like, bro, why are you going crazy at Draymond? And we go back and forth. And not publicly. What I can say is, from what I know of dude, one, he does seem to truly know Draymond. And two, I don't know why you would make that up, but he tweeted out late last night or early this morning, Draymond, 4 to 6 weeks, bad ankle sprain. I don't know why he would make that up. Now, I get back on Twitter this morning, and I see him with a highlight reel, like a cryptic. People love using that word, right? Cryptic. This cryptic highlight reel of Draymond. And then people in the comments are like, so you was fucking with us. Because no one else has reported on this. And so, I don't know. I'm not here to report or break any news on that. I'm just letting you know what's out there right now. And so that's troubling. That's a troubling news if it were to be true. What I'm here to say is this dude isn't just some rando saying this. And then when I saw the highlight reel this morning, I'm like, yo, is he just trying to mess with us? Like, listen, see how it would feel if he was gone? Like, now you like him even more. Now, I don't know, man. But hypothetically speaking, let's just say he did roll an ankle and we'll get that news Monday. If the news was true, 4 to 6 weeks, one, and what makes me a little skeptical is, I don't think they would put a timetable on it. But that's not, he's not an official person reporting on it, but that would seem steep for, but that would mean it was bad, right? That mean it would be crutches boot bad, right? Would that, if it hypothetically happened, that would kind of solve the Chris Paul starting issue initially, wouldn't it? Right? Because you know what Kerr would do. He'd put Wiggins at the four, right? And then so it'd be CP, Steph, Clay, Wiggs, and Loon. That's what I think if this were to be true. However, then there's still a big chunk of minutes. It would give Kuminga some opportunity. I saw people saying this is Kuminga's David Lee moment, Garuba. It would give these young guys opportunity, especially in the preseason, right? In the preseason, Trayce Jackson. So I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world from that perspective right now, at least in preseason. What I would be worried about is if it just sent Draymond kind of into a spiral for the season. Wrong side of 30, you know, does he get out of shape? And then the thing is, and they've got the top of the line training. It's not me doing it at some pickup game, but when you get older, the ankle can stay stiff. It can remain stiff all season long. Like, you can be healed, you can play on it, but if it's a 4 to 6 weeker, if it's like a high ankle, like a real one, like a football one, you know, that motherfucker could be stiff all year. Super pause, but it's true. And so that would be whack. But I don't know if playoff Draymond on Twitter, if he's pulling our leg or what. This is not officially reported, but I thought I would speak on it because that's what I woke up to. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me, because that would be my concern, that it just set the tone for his season and he never got really right from it. And then all of a sudden, he just ends up becoming this expensive backpack for 30. We did fill our third two-way spot. So now the NBA, I think they're doing this well as far as filtering the G League up and down and giving these kids, and not all of them are kids, but younger players or guys, opportunities. So there's a third spot. We bring in Jerome Robinson. Real Pikachu-looking ass nigga. 26 years old, 13th pick in 2018 by the Clippers, went to Boston College. He's been with Santa Cruz. Again, you'll recognize this Pikachu ass looking, big, weird looking, wide face. I'm talking crazy. But look, he's solid. He's solid. He's a bucket. Here, if you haven't seen him play, my comp would be, think like budget Alec Burks, right? Like, he can score. He's feisty. He's got some all right size to him. Again, he was a lottery pick, but for whatever reason, to me, what I see is a dude that kind of needs the ball, and then he's just not good enough at the NBA level to get that opportunity. Like if he was on the, you know, a team that was in tank mode at the end of the year in the NBA or something, and he was like, here's 30 minutes, like, he'll give you 25. Like, he's capable of that. But I think that he has struggled to fit a role on a team, like a limited role. Like, here's 12 minutes, now be effective. I think that that's kind of been his issue. But no Gui Santos, no Gui. That was my initial thought, man. And I don't know. Y'all know I'm a big fan of Gui. Are they scheming on him a little bit, like financially, right? Like, because we hear about the second apron and managing all this money moving forward, and it almost feels like they're slow rolling him to an extreme extent. Just because they want to keep him, right? They want to maintain control of him and moving forward. They know he's going to be good, but they don't want to pay him until they got to. It reminds me, since he is Brazilian, I'll use the Brazilian jiu-jitsu comp, what they do notoriously. I haven't experienced it, but several people have told me, if you train with the Brazilian in jiu-jitsu, once you get to your brown belt, they ain't never going to give you that black belt. Right? Because that means if you have the black belt, then you're like gone. You can go like start your own dojo, right? You can go do your own thing. It kind of like, it, you know, they keep you at the brown belt level, and they're keeping Gui at the white belt level, right? They don't want to give him no stripes. And it seems like perhaps a financial move. The other news that broke right along or right before the Dame trade was the Warriors have signed Rudy Gay, right? But it's really just a camp invite. It's really just a camp invite to check him out at his age. He plays the power forward now. He's not a wing. And so that sounds right. That's cool. Go see how he's moving at this age. And if he fits, I'm not opposed to it if he's healthy and looks good. But someone else had brought up some names that could potentially be bought out here after training camp preseason. You've got some of these teams, the Thunder, the Spurs, that have too many NBA guys. There's going to be NBA guys that are waived at the end of training camp, and so perhaps they want to leave a spot open for one of them. Chetty Osman is, I don't know, where is he? Is he in San Antonio? I didn't do my homework, y'all. I don't know where he is, but I'm pretty sure he got traded out of Cleveland. Did he? Shit. I don't know where he's at, but that's a name that people think may be bought out, right? And to me, he's interesting in the sense of he's a utility player. Like, he does a little bit of everything and he's got good size. But at the same time, like, I'd rather give those minutes to Kuminga. Like, if we're looking for a guy at the, I'm not saying they have the same skill set, but that's kind of my thought on him. Danilo Gallinari is with the Spurs. The net. I don't even know where these guys are at because, hey, you know why? They're probably not going to be there. But Gallinari is another buyout guy. And listen, it's weird because remember, he tore the ACL. He's been out all year. To me, he's either going to be like just the exact same, like we're not even going to tell that it happened, or he's going to be completely cooked. Because it's not like his game was based off pop and athleticism anyway, right? And so maybe the rehab process actually forced him to like get in better shape than he typically is. And Gallo is nice. Revenge season from Gallo. That's a possibility. But I could also see him being like a slob and cooked. So I don't know. I don't know about that one. But the other name that's more intriguing to me is Reggie Bullock. And to me, I think he would thrive with us because he is in the same ilk of Damian Lee in the sense of he knows his role and he's willing to play it. And he can shoot. Right, he's a streaky shooter, but if out of those three names, Bullock would interest me the most. But yeah, man, those are my thoughts. Old school audio pod. I'm going to be dropping more of these. I'm going to be doing live streams. I got a lot of stuff planned for the season. We got a preseason game Saturday against the Lakers, man. The season's here. Media day, so like the content's going to roll in here. We do have a Niner game tomorrow. Arizona Cardinals. Elijah Mitchell hurt his knee in practice the other day. The dude, he can't stay healthy. It is what it is. And so you got Ty Davis Price. Is that his name? Now I'm getting confused with Trace Jackson Davis. But Davis Price, 32, was he a third round pick a year or two ago? He and or Jordan Mason are the other running backs. Both of them super suspect in pass protection and picking up blitzes and blocking. And so I think that that's why we haven't seen much of them. And I'm a little nervous about that. But the Elijah Mitchell thing, I don't know, man. I don't know how you house him on a roster. I guess he doesn't cost them much, but the dude is the most undurable back in the league. And that's saying a lot. But I'm telling you, man, this Cardinals team, their coach, Jonathan Gannon, was the defensive coordinator for the Eagles last year. The guy, the defense that dialed up on Purdy in that NFC championship game. Not that it took a lot of scheming with the talent they have in Philadelphia, but he's smart. And what we've found out in these first 3 weeks that and how they've overachieved and beat the Cowboys, upset the Cowboys, obviously, right? But one, they've snuck up on teams because people aren't taking them serious, but they're well schemed up. I watch, I like Chris Sims. Is it buttoned up? NBC, right? But he his podcasts in the midweek one where he goes to the tape and he really diagnoses, because he reacts and then midweek he diagnoses what he had seen. And they're just schemed up. They're really coached up right now. The dude looks like he knows what he's doing. And so now it's like all of a sudden this division is just not the cakewalk it was supposed to be, right? It was like, that's why I don't like that strength of schedule bullshit, because I'm not saying I expect us to lose, but I expect it to be competitive. What are we laying, giving 13, 14 points? I don't know about that line. I'd like to see us be clean on special teams and protect the 30 Purdy. But yeah, those are my thoughts. Again, we got Warriors Media Day Monday. I'll drop something shortly after that on just, I don't know what's said. And hopefully that Draymond rumor is just false. And then again, we got a preseason game. We rolling. Y'all enjoy the weekend. I'm out, y'all.